Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to 9 Wonderful Pitches. I had a funny dream the other night, right? And it was a bloody wrestle dream, hey. Let me tell you now, because it's wrestle dream this Sunday. Nothing, it was just a... it's wrestle dream on Sunday, my birthday.
What a dream.
As if he's planned it for you, Tony Khan.
I'm making an appearance. But it is wrestle dream this Sunday, and it feels like there was nothing announced for ages or very few matches announced. Checked Wikipedia the other day. Full card.
9
banger
matches.
It's classic AEW. Mm. Under-deliver on the build, over-deliver on the night.
Yes. And I think, looking at the... It's weird that MJF again isn't in the main event with his belt and stuff, but it looks like it's a good card.
Oh, yeah. Danielson and Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Dingle. Can't wait.
Dingle. The man.
You looking forward to it as well?
Yeah, Zach Dingle. The man.
Zach Dingle versus Brian Danielson. And many other matches as well. Maybe we'll talk about some of them in this video. If you've never seen 9 pitches before, we go around Ross, then Andrew, then myself 3 times, and we're left with 9 wonderful pitches for AEW Wrestle Dream. But remember, it's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
That was that was like a halftime one.
It's like a yelp.
Do you want to start us off there?
Yeah. Julia Hart mists Chris Statlander in the face in the midst of their TBS title match, and for the first time in professional wrestling history, the referee catches it happening, and Julia has been disqualified. This really upsets Julia, and she missed the referee, and then missed Chris again in the face, even though she's already deceased. Julia then starts screaming and summons Brody King into the ring. I assume Brody King will be down at ringside, like in the managerial father role he's been in recent times, and the pair start doing some kind of ritual on Chris Statlander inside that there wrestling ring, and it's proper spooky, but it doesn't go on for too long before it becomes awkward. Pointing at the entranceway, Julia summons with a little waggly finger someone else to appear, and someone else does appear in the form of a mysterious hooded figure.
Oh.
Some might say a druid, I don't even know. The hooded figure gets into the ring and reveals herself straight away. No bollocks about this one, and it's Maria May, who I've been watching on the YouTube recently because she's been linked with AEW, so I thought I'd better swat up what I'm talking about.
Mariah? I think so.
My God, I've been whistle-wazzled by the commentators.
English last, blonde. Yeah, London. Mariah Media. It's all right.
You live and learn, don't you?
You live and learn.
She's now formed a tag team with Julia as a pair of spooky ladies who will wreak havoc on the AEW women's division from here on out. It might sound people who know Mariah May, but I think it would work on 2 levels. First of all, if you do know her, you wouldn't see her coming for this sort of role. If you don't know her, she's an impressive professional wrestler who you don't know anyway, so it'd work in that role anyway. Plus, I think down the line, you could get Julia versus Mariah, who could go back to what she might just be in stardom at the present time, by Whistle Wazzle and Julia, who continues to be a goth.
The more that you say it, I'm now worried that I've got it wrong. So it's one of the two.
I don't know, I just listened to a few videos and the couples, I will say, a couple did go Mariah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It does look like Mariah when it's
There's
written
an H
down.
On the A, yeah.
I'll just say May then instead.
Mrs. May.
M&M.
M&M.
Double M.
Yes. it's good.
It's a short and sweet one to start.
That's all right.
It could be retirement time for me on the pitches videos. I said before.
I feel like I'm saying
the same things every month, but with different
You've
people.
Never that was different?
Yeah, that
You've
was
never
different.
Mentioned
I can't remember, druid. Can't remember any druids. Well, it's a yes for me. At first, I was skeptical because of the DQ finish to I think is the only women's match on the card currently.
Is it actually?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Tony. But yeah. Ooh, the pacing of my show. But I like the introduction of a new character. I agree with what you say. Like, if you know her, that's cool. But if you don't, there's the intrigue there as well. Yeah, so it's a yes from me.
It's a yes from me because I feel like in these sort of cross-promotional pay-per-views and stuff, we need some more lady representation from, like, the stardom and everything like that. Also, I'd kind of like to see a really dominant women's tag team knocking about.
That's
too.
What I was thinking.
I think that would
well.
Be kind of cool to see.
I know there's no division, but there's also, you know, you
there's
got the
room
outcasts.
For a division,
the outcasts were a while there, but they didn't really yeah. captivate, did they?
No. Anyway. So I think that'd be pretty cool. And then also seeing them maybe go up against, like, the outcasts or, like, Saraya or whatever as well. Mm. That could be pretty nice, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mist versus the Spray Can. The yes. Battle of the Ages.
A Battle of the Ages.
It writes itself.
It's two yeses to start off
I
with.
I didn't expect that. So it's a promising start.
Andrew.
That was good. That was good. All right. I'm going to AEW Collision this week, and then we'll get to pay-per-view in a bit, all right? Bryan Danielson takes the mic to talk about his upcoming match with New Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Champion Zack Sabre Jr. Now, after last Sunday's New Japan Destruction in Kobe event, Zack Sabre Jr. in the backstage presser said of his upcoming match with Danielson, "If you don't kick my effing head in, I'll end your effing career, I tell thee." Mm. Bloody hellfire. This is the statement that Danielson lingers on for his Collision promo. He talks about how some might have misinterpreted what he said about winding down his in-ring career. Yes, whilst he might be slowing down in terms of his appearances so he can spend more time with his family, that doesn't mean that the intensity of his in-ring wrestling ability will be slowing down anytime soon. Some have mistaken his comments as a sign of weakness, thinking that his recent arm injury has not only made him an easy target for defeat, but also that his title that his title of being the best in the world is also up for debate. Sorry, bruv. And he's taking a shot there at Will Ospreay, who said that.
Very good, yeah.
Idiot, man. But right now, Danielson very much focused on Zack Sabre Jr. And if the Texas death match with Ricky Starks last week didn't prove that Danielson isn't slowing down anytime soon, then how about this, Mr. Sabre Jr.? A match that's been on the cards in AEW for well over a year. A match the fans have been salivating for. You want to end my career, Zach? I'm giving you the chance to step up and do it in my home state. 60 minutes, submissions only Iron Man match.
60.
To prove who really is the best technical wrestler in the world. Just to give the people what they want. Because we've been waiting for a bit, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking in a similar vein to like Benoit versus Angle at Backlash as well. In those realms, yeah. There.
Oh, MJF and well, you know, not submission, but you know, the 60-minute bit. Yeah.
So he's just excels.
It was Danielson, wasn't it?
Yeah. He excels at 60 minutes. Oh, the best he's one bloody ever. Good.
That's what. No, it doesn't matter.
So anyway, we get the match at Wrestle Dream. Danielson ekes out the win. We'll say like 4-3 in a close ending that sees Zach applying the label look, but Bryan counters it into that hammerlock oblique stretch thing that he used to submit Okada with, which is Sabre Jr.'s move, obviously. Mm-hmm. So he gets the victory with that. And then after the grueling 60 minutes, there's a show of respect from both Zach and Danielson as they shake hands and the New Japan TV champion exits up the rampway, clutching his recently broken arm. Whilst having the other raised in victory, Danielson is just bathing in the cheers from the Seattle crowd before...
Oh.
Oh, no, that was rubbish.
Yeah.
There you go. A hidden blade hits the American Dragon's neck from behind and leaves him sprawled across the canvas. My goodness. And it's Will Ospreay, obviously, holding his IWGP United Kingdom title high above Bryan. He's standing over Bryan. He hoists the title high, and it signals what's next to come for Mr. Bryan Danielson's future, which I think would be kind of nice.
So I assume this is happening after the six man.
Yes.
The
yes,
Callis
yes,
family.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's 60 minutes. I reckon we close it out. It's the thing that everybody's been waiting for, isn't it? So close it out with that. That'll be delightful.
I fear for Bryan Danielson's safety in this pitch. With that arm.
That's what we need to think about. That's
a submission specialist.
Absolutely.
He snapped like a twig.
He will be, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's a yes from me, though.
Like, it's a yes from me as well. I like how you've taken the current intensity of Bryan Danielson's run against like Ricky Starks and stuff, and then this match with Zack Sabre Jr., and then with the introduction of Ospreay, you've elevated it.
Oh,
it lives, it breathes.
Yeah.
That's the name of the band, is it?
I also wanted to throw in there with the IWGP UK title. I want Danielson to go after a New Japan belt Because if he's winding down his career, he's got lots of things he wants to tick off his bucket list. So maybe Ospreay puts that on the line for him as well.
It's a big match we've never had. Yeah, I agree.
Just cryogenically freeze Birdie B. Prolong the retirement for a couple more years.
Forever.
She's got to be, six or seven, or something. Just
five or six
That's
for a couple more years.
Yeah. Do you remember when he was like, oh, I'm leaving wrestling to spend time with my family? And then he came back like the next week.
If it was
a heel move.
If it was Christian Cage, he would do that.
Yeah.
It's been four yeses so far. My first pitch is maybe the one I'm least confident about, okay. So I'm a bit worried about this one. But the glaring thing to me that is weird about this card is that it was initially billed, as we know, as an Antonio Inoki tribute show, which had me thinking it would be a bit like Forbidden Door, but there's actually not that much of a New Japan presence on the card. Like Hangman and Swerve, is that the sort of match we thought we'd see here? Maybe not. I'm not against it being on the card, but it's just the card hasn't been what I thought it would be. At the minute, Zack Sabre Jr. is a New Japan guy, and there's people who were recently with the company like Aussie Open and Ibushi. But in my mind, the closest person to Inoki in the current wrestling landscape, and it was highlighted since I wrote this on Collision, is Shibata. Eddie Kingston talked about that in his video package, I think, on Collision. Because of Shibata's injuries and the fact New Japan don't seem to feel comfortable booking him anymore in proper matches, when Inoki passed away, they sort of channeled their tributes to Inoki through Okada. It was Okada getting the big win over Jay White in the main event of the following Wrestle Kingdom, wearing the all-black gear like Inoki, even, I think, hitting some of Inoki's moves en route to victory. But Okada's not really like Inoki. He's not the sort of... Whereas Shibata, if he was still a full-time member of the New Japan roster, I'd like to think they'd have done something with him instead because he's already much more similar to Inoki. Martial arts, strikes, submissions, all black gear. And I put serious and manly as well. He is.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Tall boy.
Yeah.
Big tall boy.
Yeah, tall boy. Yeah. Unfortunately, when I was thinking all this, I realized that there's only one result I should pitch that should definitely happen at WrestleDream. And also, I think it's one of the least likely. Shibata beating...
No.
Eddie Kingston.
To me, it's not too bad if he does.
No.
Well, I've got more. I can justify it.
It's only the Ring of Honor world title.
I've said I don't
and
think...
New Japan strong.
I don't think that's going to happen because it's Eddie's first big defense of the title. I don't know if it's going to make him look great if he loses so fast. But if Tony really wants to put his money where his mouth is and make this a real tribute to Inoki, Shibata should be the one who wins. I have two defenses for this. One... because I admit it does sound like an awful booking decision so soon after Eddie's big win. But one, if Eddie wins, then it's a victory for more of an All Japan style over the New Japan strong style. Eddie is a self-confessed 90s All Japan fanboy. And yes, his favorite might be the most Inoki-esque of the four pillars in Kawada, but Shibata is still more far representative of strong style than Eddie Kingston. Secondly, if Eddie loses, he'll immediately, I think, be able to be booked in some kind of self-doubting, self-loathing sort of breakdown, which I think he'd really excel in that role, making for some great promos, great matches as he builds himself back up. And also, I think it would free him up to go after the AEW title, which I still don't think TK realizes how good a Kingston title reign would be. And the fact that he's made him Ring of Honor champion makes me worry that he's kind of thrown him a bone. And he's going, well, you've got the Ring of Honor belt now. Get off to the side. If he lost it straight away, it would give him the storyline motivation to build himself back up and pursue an even bigger goal. No disrespect to the amazing legacy of the Ring of Honor belt, but the AEW title is just bigger in 2023, isn't it? It's bigger right now. So that's my first pitch.
It would be a bitter pill to swallow at the time, but the big picture, it's a yes.
Thank you.
Eddie Kingston away from Ring of Honor. I think AEW and Ring of Honor going their separate ways again is much needed. There's too much Ring of Honor in my... Yeah.
It's happened again. Like, everything's sort of just all fallen into the AEW camp, hasn't it?
And it got so much better the first time they went their separate ways. I think they should do it again.
Yeah. Yes, I think, as Ross was saying there, in the bigger picture, in the longer term, I think I'd like that a lot. To see that happen, at least, anyway. And I think you're right. I think an Eddie Kingston title reign would be tremendous as well.
Well, maybe it doesn't even need to be that long a title reign, but the pursuit of the title.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing that we enjoy the most, I feel like, as well, isn't it? Is the pursuit and when someone finally gets that belt.
Hangman Page.
And then, but then afterwards.
That's what I mean, the reign itself. Yeah. Although I think we'll look back, it wasn't as bad as everyone says.
It wasn't. The matches were good, the storylines weren't there.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That wasn't really his fault.
No, it wasn't.
Now he's friends again with the Bucks.
Oh. Yeah. What a fantastic audience.
What's going on, by the
way?
He's
the Ring of Honor Trios champion.
Probably talked about this on last week's podcast, but what's going on with Matt Jackson at the minute?
Look at
my muscles. Look how cool I look.
I don't know. We sacrificed CM Punk for wanky self-serving Young Bucks
promos.
Thank you,
Now we're all, yeah.
CM Punk.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about that.
What if we die? I'm glad we've all come round to
hit the red button, Brandon. Brandon, it's the red one.
I'm sure that everyone watching unanimously agrees that that is right, and that yeah.
It's a shame, but there we go. In the early part of the show, we see a promo segment that involves both members of Better Than You, Bebe. MJF snatches the mic from the remarkable Renee Paquette and says, Adam Cole, we need to talk. This isn't working, man. I'm the AEW World Champion, but due to the popularity of our bro Chacho-ness, all of the focus has been on these things, and I'm being used for the Ring of Honor tag team titles, and I'm being used for exposure for a crappy little indie promotion I don't give a toss about. Oh. I've got Ring of Honor jabronis like the Kingdom say my name. This is crap. I remember a time when AEW fans said the money of AEW Wars, all this Ring of Honor stuff, was a low point in our company's fledgling histories, and things got immeasurably better when the two promotions became their own things again. I don't know what we're doing here. I believe it would be the best interest for all concerned if the same thing happened again in 2023. I've had enough, man. All these teams we're facing, they're just not good enough to lace our boots. And I'm bored of rocking up to a pay-per-view and wrestling the righteous, for Christ's sake. I want to relinquish these titles and move on, man. Adam Cole obviously is on the brink of tears at this point, but Max then says, I've been speaking with that dirty Mark Tony Khan, and if we win this matchup against the Righteous, because Daddy still wants his pay-per-view payday, which makes things make sense, we get to vacate these titles, and they'll go to a team who wins a tournament and actually cares about them. Cue crowd boos. And he's like, whoa, wait, I'm no schmuck. That's something MJF might say. Mm-hmm. We also get to be acting general managers of Collision, because Tony Khan has been speaking about this new era of professional wrestling that's coming in with this Wrestle Dream. Go back and watch the promo package for Wrestle Dream. It's the last thing he says. New era, Dawn, all things like that. And I'm here to announce streaming deal in place of pay-per-views and a proper brand extension between Dynamite and Collision, but one where champions can appear on both shows. Well, hey, think about it, Adam. We'd be booking our own stuff. Yas!
Yas, queen.
So, of course, on the show, they win, and the AEW World Champion is now acting general manager of Collision alongside his best friend, Adam Cole. What could possibly go wrong? It's the splitting away we just spoke about before I did this one. The Ring of Honor going one way, the AEW going the other way, but also not losing the Bro Chachos, which is still not getting old at this point.
So the brand splits Dynamite and Collision?
Yes.
Right, okay.
So you have exclusive rosters, but floating champions. Cole and MJF, the face of Collision. Well, MJF on both because he's the champion currently, but you know what I mean. It'll work itself.
That could be very cool.
I know people don't like the thought of an AEW brand extension, but I'm watching Collision since, you know, CM Punk left, and it's lost what it was.
Yes, it has.
It's a massive shame. It's become what Rampage was becoming.
Best in the world.
I thought it was the right call to let him go. I think it probably still is the right call to let him go. They've just clearly made Dynamite the A show and Collision where the jobbers face the established names more times than they maybe should in the space of one card.
Yeah. Real glass.
Hit the red button, Brandon. Woo, we're cool.
Go cry me a river. It's a yes from me as well. Yeah, it's a good idea. Collision was, at the time, doing, in my mind, was the superior show.
It was, yeah.
And I like the idea of it being a bit more, it would be a bit more different, wouldn't it, with MJF? It would be like, it would give an excuse to do some slightly more unconventional booking, and then Dynamite you can have just be the traditional wrestling show. I like it.
A bit of more 2024 brought into it as well. Tony Khan trying to keep MJF there when he's just lost Jade. General manager when he's a little champion.
I think it would be cool as well, because then if you've got, you said Adam Cole would also be a general manager.
Could. It's
you?
Like Bischoff and Austin of that'd the modern like, day.
I think that's a dynamic that would work really well in that role as well, because then you can get Adam Cole trying to like eke out another sort of title thing from MJF and stuff like that. So Cole thinks that could be really good.
Cole thinks he's playing GM mode.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he could be sat there like with a controller.
Austin Creed with a shoot appearance out of nowhere.
Imagine. They're fighting Xavier Woods and Kenny Omega, aren't they, in like a Tekken tournament thing or something? Yeah,
I do quite like Tekken.
Real men.
Out of all the beat them up games, as I believe the genre's called, beat them up. Then my favourite one probably is Tekken, yeah. Horang's my boy.
Horang is a good and
Taekwondo kicks, you can't dodge him.
Yoshimitsu is good.
Troll character. Hate him. Wow. He's got a sword. That's not allowed.
He does. There's a one that's a big bear.
Oh, a big fat bear.
A big bear. It's cool. Yeah.
Oh, shout out to John Cena, by the way, who watches the channel.
A power bear. Wait, I saw you.
We nominated fat bears for the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast Hall of Fame last Friday. And this Tuesday, John Cena posted a picture of a fat bear on Instagram.
It can only mean.
He loves fat bears.
He does. John Cena loves fat bears.
Hey, I'll tell you what. It's all yeses so far.
It is all yeses so far.
Pressure.
It might be the first. No, I'm just saying. Again, this is, as you were saying, Jack, about your first one. This is probably my weakest one.
All right. Okay.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? So I'm going to the 2 out of 3 falls match for the TNT title between the absolutely valiant and noble champion Christian Cage against the horrible, horrible man Darby Allin. Just disgusting. Before the match, Christian and Luchasaurus, with Luchasaurus in tow, is being interviewed backstage by Alexi Nair about, when they're suddenly interrupted by staff and medical personnel rushing straight past them. The TVs behind the champion cut to a feed showing Darby Allin tending to a bloodied Sting, who's clearly been viciously assaulted. Oh dear. Says Christian, I see you found my handiwork. I don't know why he sounds like
that's what he would say.
You have found my handiwork, yes?
Twiddling his turtleneck.
You see, if Tony Khan wants to give Darby Allin the unfair home field advantage, then I had to level the playing field a little bit myself in this cesspit they call Seattle. Disgusting. But since I was too busy trying not to catch a disease on these tainted lands, I had to call in a favour.
These tainted lands? He's talking like Keith Lee.
Salutations.
He's like an old villain.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
On these tainted shores. The land of grunge and rain.
I had to call in a favour, says Christian. Now, Christian looks towards Luchasaurus, though, and then looks back and he goes, but from someone who actually knows a thing or two about being a successful.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fighting honorable champion. As Christian leaves the ring, Luchasaurus hangs back for a moment and looks as confused as one fully grown dinosaur possibly could in that scenario. Now, the match gets underway, and Cage is basically, he's just reveling in the fact that this is, once again, essentially a 2-on-1 handicap match at this point. The champ even gets the first fall of the bout. We see, sort of, after getting rocked by Darby, Cage rolls out of the ring to catch a breather next to Luchasaurus, but he's Christian Cage, so he rightfully predicts that Allin usually follows something like this up with a coffin drop to the outside. However, Cage pulls Luchasaurus into the firing line instead to avoid the damage himself, and then he takes advantage of that, quickly tosses Darby Allin into the ring and hits a swift unprettier to score that their advantage. But the second fall goes in the favour of Darby Allin, however, as during the match's progression, Cage starts to notice that Luchasaurus isn't really getting involved to sway the decision too much in his favour. After a particularly close pinfall attempt from Darby, Christian is rattled. He starts shouting at Luchasaurus on the outside, why didn't he help break up the count? Keep the ref busy or something like that. But the verbal altercation, however, is enough of a distraction for Darby to roll up Cage with the last of a pin to score the tiebreaker. So that is one apiece for each competitor. Now, after multiple failed attempts to try and finally put Darby away for good, Christian's frustration boils over as he calls for Luchasaurus to fetch the TNT title belt. And now, in a callback to last week's match on Collision, Luchasaurus steps onto the apron but doesn't seem to want to let the title out of his grasp. Christian, though, in a fit of rage, berates and even slaps the former TNT champion before prying the belt from the big dinosaur man's hands. But before he winds up to clock Darby with the strap, Luchasaurus suddenly lays the champion out with a right hand to a rapturous response from the crowd. However, we soon come to realize...
Rapturous.
God.
Sorry. Couldn't help it.
That was perfect.
It's compulsive.
However, we soon come to realize that disqualifications still apply as the ref calls for the bell. The third and final fall is a disqualification in the favor of Christian Cage. Now, Cage, whilst initially shocked and taken aback with what just happened, soon has the realization sink in that he's just retained the title thanks to Luchasaurus. So his confusion gives way to a wry smirk as he taps the side of his head with his finger. And he gestures towards his brainwashed compadre as if to say, hey, that's a smart move, friend. You're learning, I tell thee.
Oh, my brainwashed compadre on the shore.
His language is it's broadening.
Yeah.
In this pay-per-view, right? And as the retaining champion embraces Luchasaurus, though, a frustrated Darby launches himself towards Christian, who once again just moves out of the way and lets Luchasaurus take the brunt of the damage before hitting Allen in the back of the head with the belt. Now, instead of checking on his friend Luchasaurus, though, Christian instead looks more concerned for the well-being of the title and starts to shine it up and kiss it as he so often likes to do. He loves that belt. Mm-hmm. And he tells a dazed Luchasaurus to get up, you dafty. Get me on your shoulders right now. So as Christian celebrates his victory with a huge smile plastered across his face, he signals for Luchasaurus to place him back down on the canvas by patting his head. But nothing. He pats Luchasaurus' head again, as he does. We've seen him do that. Nothing. His smile turns to one of concern as we all know what's coming. That's right. The Dino Man finally snaps and brings the TNT champion back down to earth with an electric chair drop. As Luchasaurus stalks Cage, he finally wraps his hand around the throat of Christian, ready to deliver a monstrous choke slam when Sting comes running from the back, inevitably ready to get in the action.
Running out.
He's running. He's inevitably ready to get in on the action and exact his revenge on the champion for the vicious beatdown pre-match. Now Sting slides into the ring, looks at Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus looks back at Sting and then out into the crowd. They're all going, yeah, this is bloody good, this. But before he can execute the choke slam, whammy. What's that from? That's from...
I don't know.
Anchorman.
Whammy. This pitch is an assault on the senses. I'm just in the fire.
We get a swift kick to the testes, and it brings the big man down to his knees. And after a moment's pause between Sting and Christian Cage, the icon bounces off the ropes and hits a spear on Luchasaurus. You see, everybody, it's not Sting's face paint on this character. No, it's a Sting mask,
on,
everybody,
man.
Which went slowly peeled off.
He's about 4 inches shorter than him, man.
Slowly peeled off, reveals none other.
Is it Tyson Tomko?
Then Tyson Tomko. A.K.A. Adam Copeland himself, aligning himself alongside his absolutely very real biological brother. Well,
my third
Christian
pitch is
Cage.
Just gone, isn't it now, Andrew? Third pitch is gone.
Where's it gone?
Well, it's irrelevant now.
Clearly said Tyson Tomko there.
I am beside myself with rage.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's a good
I've got a feeling we might have all pitched the same thing.
Sting!
Let us know which one you prefer down below.
God, I might as well swap my order around and just do that one next, I suppose.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
It's a yes from me.
From me as well.
Really? I thought it was far too winding. I was thinking you were going to be like... This
is
a bit
my aftermath is different. Mine's okay. So it'll be all right, I suppose.
My aftermath is disgusting.
Disgusting?
It's one of the worst things I've ever written down in my life.
I am excited.
Yeah. It's not a good image.
I'll do mine then.
Yeah.
I'll swap around my second and third ones. Nick Wayne finally snaps and turns on Darby Allin during his TNT title match with Christian Cage.
Amen.
It's what needs to happen.
Because he's got enough reason to now, I think. Yeah. He forgave AR Fox. But
Darby's an idiot.
Yeah.
Stupid man.
Trying to climb a mountain. What are you doing? He hits him with a belt behind the referee's back. Christian makes the cover, 1, 2, 3, but it is 2 out of 3 falls. Darby bravely fights back and wins a fall back against Christian when he finally goes too far and slaps Luchasaurus, who chokeslams him and walks out.
Yes.
Coffin drop, 1, 2, 3, 1 apiece. But then, Christian pulls the ref in the way of a coffin drop and everyone's down in the ring, including the official. You think you know me.
Tyson Tomko.
Don't know if they can use the real song. If not,
they would be able to because it's a band's song, isn't it?
Right.
So if they get the rights.
I don't know if they can use the same voice, you think.
Oh, that bit maybe.
They might have chopped it up. They've chopped up as well, haven't they? Yeah. The so I've said it sound a bit different.
If not, just get Tony Khan to say it.
Yeah.
You think you know me? I'm scared for my life. Edge arrives and demolishes Darby with a spear. I imagine Darby takes a really good spear. Mm. And Christian retains the TNT title. Excuse me. Thus begins the reign of Edge and Christian, as well as their protege, Nick Wayne. Oh. Edge, Christian, and Wayne, ECW. Taz is not a fan of this. ECW run wild for a few weeks. Maybe Edge and Christian even win the ROH tag titles from MJF and Cole at some point. Imagine that in the history books, I've said. Edge and Christian, Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Eventually, it's the new year. This is further. There's been a few weeks. Is my mic still on? I just clipped it there. Thanks, Joel. Eventually, it's the new year, and things have started to strain, though, between the two old friends. Mm. Edge is still his opportunistic self, but he also knows when to have a laugh, guys. Christian's very different from the man Edge once knew and keeps mocking people's dead family members. That's not very awesome. Things come to a head when they lose the tag belts to, I've put, just for example, maybe Brian and Zach, who've gained each other's respect and they finally turn on one another. This sets up a match for Revolution, but it's no mere singles match. I've written this a bit like you. Uh-huh. It's a tag match with mystery partners. They face off in the ring on the go-home Dynamite, and Edge says, if we're doing this, I want someone by my side who's had your number in the past. It's Sting. Sting makes his entrance. Christian runs away before getting a chance to reveal his partner. So he says, I guess you'll find out who my partner is at the pay-per-view. We get to the pay-per-view. Edge and Sting make their entrance. They're waiting in the ring. On the Tron, we see Christian in the back. He says, I've made some calls, and I've found a tag partner that Sting has never beaten one-on-one. And I think you know him quite well. He approaches a locker room door and knocks on it. Dun, dun, dun. Thus begins the era of Christian and Goldberg. I just think they'd be a funny pair. Collision's lost a bit of spice since CM Punk left, as Ross would say, and maybe these two guys are the remedy. There we go.
Goldberg?
Imagine, you know, like Luchasaurus has been Christian's henchman. Imagine that, but just with Goldberg instead.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Yeah, why not? Let's try it on for size.
You can give it a no if you really
want. No, I'm willing to try it on.
Yeah.
Like a pair of stilettos down the shop. I'll give it a go. It might not end well, but I'll give it a go.
Okay. I'll give it a go. I thought you were going to say Christian's mystery partner was all of a sudden going to be Darby Allin.
No, come on. Why would they align?
I thought you were going to say John Cena.
Yeah.
Or someone who's beaten Edge. Someone who's beaten Sting.
Big fat bears.
Oh, I mean, Sting's never beaten Goldberg one-on-one. Yeah. I had a look. Mm. They've had multiple singles matches in WCW. Sting never beat him.
And for that reason alone, I'm going to say yes then.
That reason alone.
I think that would make for television.
Tony's been in touch with Goldberg, hasn't he?
Yeah, apparently so.
Okay. Mm. Fair enough.
God. Goldberg on Collision.
Yeah.
Of the day. Right. It's Christian Cage versus Darby Allin for the TNT title in a 2 out of 3 falls match. It goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that Christian is out there with Luchasaurus, even though Luchasaurus should be off on his own after what Christian did last week on Collision. Mm. And Darby is out there with his biological child, Nick Wayne. The match is going along swimmingly, and with the scores level at 1-1, we're on to a thrilling conclusion in the third fall. It's looking increasingly likely that Christian is going to lose before we get a double down spot. Both men are down because it's a double down. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we hear blaring out through the speakers inside the arena the intro to a new theme we haven't heard before. It goes something like this in my mind. Lord have mercy, it's Buddy Wayne.
Wow!
Cue some 80s hair rock that would have been a mainstay in the Memphis wrestling territory back in its heyday.
I think I know what's happening.
Because I assume that Christian Cage assumes that Buddy Wayne was a lot older than he actually was before he passed away. So Memphis 80 all makes sense in Christian's head. At the top of a ramp, appears what appears to be a rather portly fella on a motorbike. But crucially, his identity is hidden because of a motorcycle helmet. Safety first, everybody.
Oh my god!
Safety first.
Who could it be?
Obviously, Nick Wayne is perplexed as he makes his way down to the bottom of the ramp, but directly in the middle of the in line with the middle of the apron. So he's like straight in front of the motorcycle.
Oh my god!
He can't believe his dad is there because last time he checked, his father was dead. The motorcyclist goes boom boom and then speeds down the ramp, knocking down Nick Wayne to the floor in what can only be described as a vehicular assault. With Wayne paralyzed on the floor, Darby is almost in tears as he tends to his completely biological son. At this time, Christian drags the referee into the corner, like in a kind of distraction tactic, like professional wrestling heels have done for absolutely ages. They put their hands on the chest and drag them towards the corner. It's happened before. Then Adam Copeland appears from under the other side of the ring
and nails
a shoot spear on Darby just as he's getting back into the ring from Tennant and Nick Wayne on the apron at the bottom of the ramp. It's at this point that Christian lets the referee go. He flops on top of Darby and he retains the title with Adam Copeland hiding around that side of the ring once more. Adam Copeland gets back in the ring and is clearly aligned with the TNT champion Christian. The motorcyclist gets in the ring and reveals herself to have been Nick Wayne's mom in a fat suit. Nick Wayne's mom in a fat suit. Nick Wayne's mother then links arm with Christian and the trio of Nick Wayne's mother, Adam Copeland and Christian Cage leave the ring. And then, I'd have a shower after writing this bit, and then, with Christian and Nick Wayne's mother stood over the stricken body of Nick Wayne, Christian Cage and Nick Wayne's mother neck on, like their Lita and Edge from 2006.
What are you doing?
Oh, this is sick.
Oh, this is so sick.
Some softcore pornography there too.
What?
What a swerve. Yes from me, Ross.
Ross was saying that he's like, I just don't come up with any more original ideas.
You couldn't be further from the truth.
I've never heard a pitch where someone's own mother runs them over with a motorbike.
Disguised
as their own dead husband.
She loves Christian.
That's the most disturbing pitch I've ever.
Joel, I dare you to make a stricken Nick Wayne with Christian and Nick Wayne's mom necking on the thumbnail for this video. A double dare you.
I mean, you can just put her face over it because Trish and Christian did that, so you could.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I don't know what to give it because it's
twist and turn.
It's disgusting. I know.
I think for the reveal at the end, it deserves.
It's obviously really good, but
obviously, yeah.
It's a no from me because it just made me feel really, it's like really harrowing and sad. It's horrible. It's a bit too dark for me.
That's why I like it. I don't know why.
You are a goth boy.
I am a big goth boy.
I'm sorry. Don't worry about it.
Oh,
it just doesn't sit with me right.
I was there on the edge of my seat wondering who it was going to be.
So was Christian. So was Nick Wayne.
I know. That was tremendous. Jiminy Jellicas.
Cleanse me with a lovely PG pitch, please, Andrew.
It is a PG pitch, all right, everyone, right? It's a very short one as well. So Eddie Kingston retains the Ring of Honor World and New Japan Strong titles in a brutal match with Shibata. After a show of respect between the two following the match, Eddie grabs the mic and cuts a promo. He tells us all about how he's on top of the world right now, quite literally living out his dream and ticking off all manner of boxes that he never thought would be possible at one point in his life. And whilst he knows that one day his dream will realistically have to end in order to feed someone else's, he's going to fight until there's nothing left to make every moment count. And that's why he's got to shoot his shot, everybody, and keep the dream alive for as long as he possibly can. Kazuchika Okada,
ooh.
I'm calling you out.
Get out here now.
Why is he Scottish?
I just remember when Mark Dallas brought Triple H out. Triple H!
Get out here now. I'm calling you out. Me versus you with these titles on the line, not today, not next week, but next year. AEW Wrestle Dream 2024 inside the Tokyo Dome.
Oh!
And then I've just said we get a whole year of seeing Eddie Kingston valiantly defending his titles for the next year, getting to partake in his dream matches with the idea that he's fighting to keep his ultimate dream alive. So he needs to keep these titles, otherwise he doesn't get this match with Okada, basically. He's spoken in the past about Okada being a dream opponent of his alongside Tanahashi as well, and also him defending those titles in the Tokyo Dome of all places. It'd be a lovely visual and a lovely moment for what seems like a lovely, wonderful man.
I think as well, can I just add a little bit? It's a yes to me. I think a great final opponent, like say the week before when he's got to defend it one more time to get this Okada match, you want an opponent who like no one wants to see face Okada.
Yeah.
So I think Jungle Boy would be a perfect, or Jack Perry.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah. Absolutely.
You
want to
see,
right.
You want to see him face Crimea River.
Crimea River. We are glad. Crimea River.
So you're a yes for me.
Thank you, thank you. What's that? Oh,
just installed an update there, Andrew.
Fair enough.
Is it a yes from you?
I don't know why, because I looked over at you and I saw that, and then for some reason I thought you were like having a system update then, because you didn't say anything.
It always is an enlightening experience coming down with these pictures videos. I always leave a slightly better person. Yes, it's a yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My last one's my shortest one by far, but I was going to do it in the middle, but then the Edge thing. So MJF and Adam Cole instantly beat the Righteous, who last time we saw were being weird in a park.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
It was really, really Wyatt family. Yeah. A bit too, like, I don't want to say they've ripped them off, but
it's 2015 Wyatt family when they're just meaningless bollocks in the promo.
Which is good.
It sounded nice,
it's
but
just a bit too similar to me. And one of the Dutch is really Wyatt, but then Vincent will go like, you know that you dig it, man. Yeah. It's just strange.
So good.
No. More like a surfer. Like, yeah. MJF and Cole instantly beat them anyway. Kangaroo kick, double clothesline, it's over. MJF gets on the mic afterwards and says, hey, that was barely a match, and I don't want my devil worshippers to be shortchanged. And also, to be quite honest, I'm getting a little bit sick of being further down the card. So how about later on tonight, I come back out here and defend the AEW World Championship against anybody who thinks they deserve it. Later on the night, MJF comes out and says, right, let's see if anyone here is more devilish than the devil. And it's Pac. And he comes out.
Oh, hello.
I think MJF should win, but like by the skin of his teeth. Mm. Right? But we just haven't seen Pac in a long time. Well, not that long, but I checked on Cage match. I don't know if he's injured or anything, but the last match he had was that one against Gravity, I think.
That was a big.
And then he got forgotten about.
Yeah.
Well,
the irony.
And I don't know if we're biased. I don't think we are, just because being from up, well, me and Ross, being from up here and finding Pac funnier than most people because of the way he said, like, yeah, buddy, lad. But, and the video packages were great when he was like running down the quayside.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think everyone misses Pac as well, not just the Luwagles.
He's such a good wrestler, isn't he?
He's just fantastic. He's legitimately one of the best in the world. Mm, and why is they not using him more?
I hope when he does come back, then it's something like this in terms of like it feels more like a statement than him just coming back to do a match and then sort of going back into the mid card a little
bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'll tell you what prompted this pitch was I saw a video from a few years ago. It was when Pac had left WWE and I think he was in Dragon Gate. But he would occasionally make like a really random UK indie appearance. Mm. And it was in Riptide, I think, where he wrestled Cara Noir. But he was a mystery opponent, so Cara Noir came out. And then it was Pac's music with like the slow, like the guitar solo, like the and he just walks out really slowly and the crowd all just come unglued. And I thought, that would be a good thing to have here.
It would be cool. Yeah. It would be very cool.
Don't know how MJF could possibly beat him. He could cheat, I suppose.
He can cheat, can't he? Yeah, it's MJF, isn't it?
He's our scumbag.
He is.
It's a yes from me too.
That's delightful.
Right then. Well, I mean, that was meant to be my middle one, like a little breather before the big Edge pitch, but
that was a nice way to end
like
it.
Like an after eight mint.
Yeah.
Big hairy Geordie after eight. So there you have it. That's our nine pitches for Wrestle Dream. And then he said Wrestle Kingdom. I'm now worried I said that in the intro. No, because I said the dream thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've also got what happened going out in the immediate aftermath of the show as well, in case you're not watching it but want to still know what happened at Wrestle Dream and all the stuff. Are you guys looking forward to the show?
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be buzzing, yeah. They always pull it out of the bag, even though sometimes the build's not the best. The shows are dead good.
One of these days, I always think, because AEW pay-per-view has gone so long that it's like 5, 6 in the morning here by the time it ends. One of these days, I want to be able to power through late enough to go to Wetherspoons and have a Wetherspoons breakfast afterwards. But I've always talked about it, but then it gets to like 6 a.m. and I'm like, no, I'm just going to go to bed. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
You could hold it out. You can hold it out
just
for a bit longer.
Annoying Joel while he's trying to... Is it you on this time? Yeah. I'll see you on Sunday. You and Luke, see you on Sunday. I don't think we will. It sounds like a good idea in theory. But anyway, thanks very much for watching. And leave your pitches in the comment section down below. And remember, life's a pitch.
And then you die.
Oh, no.
See, I know you did a Craig Charles there. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.